This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or tryzona.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk about something that, we don't often talk about. We talk about vitamins, we talk about supplements, we talk about meditation, yoga, we've covered many subjects, exercise. Today, we're going to talk about the science of the breath, and I can think of no one more qualified to talk about this subject than today's guest. She's Betsy Thomason, and Betsy's been an excellent guest here on Intelligent Medicine in the past. She's provided us with a useful perspective on her approach to breathing, which is called the Just Breathe Out program. You can find out about it at justbreatheout.com. The tagline in that is using your breath to create a new, healthier you, and that's also the title of a book. We talked to her in 2014. This is a good time to reprise that information because she's got a lot of new stuff to share with us. So let's introduce Betsy Thomason. Betsy is a registered respiratory therapist, so she's studied this from the conventional side. Respiratory therapists look at it from the standpoint of dealing with often respiratory disorders, not using the breath to optimize performance and to optimize mood, to promote relaxation. She has had a private practice since 1987 and has assisted clients from athletes and people using wheelchairs to those with lung disease and chronic health issues, helping them understand how you breathe affects every organ in your body. So it's a truly holistic approach. Her book is Just Breathe Out, Developing a User-Friendly Body, featuring the Breath Out Dynamic System. We'll find out more about that as we speak to Betsy Thomason. Betsy, it's a pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, well, give us a little background. What got you, first of all, you had conventional training, and you know, I guess you learned how to deal with asthmatics and people with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and you know, respiratory emergencies, checking blood gases, all the things that respiratory therapists normally do. But you took it a step further. What prompted you to do that?
Well, actually, I became a respiratory therapist after I became a breathing trainer.
Oh, okay.
Being a breathing trainer prompted me to go back to school to learn more. And actually, when I graduated from Bergen Community College in 1992, it dawned on me, and this understanding had been growing inside me, that respiratory therapists, as you mentioned, are not involved in teaching us how to breathe effectively. We deal mostly with medications and disease management and mechanical ventilation, which is all very important in certain situations, you know, emergency situations and when people have chronic disease, but preventing disease, helping people to live their fullest, that was really my intention. And I got into the breathing aspect really as an outdoors person. I was a hiker. I climbed Mount Rainier, 14,000 feet, and one of my friends taught me how to get up mountains without huffing and puffing. She was Ann Mavro Madison. She died in 1986 and asked me to carry on her work as a breathing trainer. And she gave me some resources, one of whom was Ian Jackson, who developed what used to be called breath play, but is now called the Breathe Out Dynamic System, or BODS. I learned that through Ann and through Ian Jackson. And I realized how powerful it was for me, not just getting up mountains, but helped me in life to relax and to be confident and really to love my body. And as you had mentioned, the one of the subtitles, the former subtitle of the book was Developing a User-Friendly Body. That's really the foundation element of this book. Why do you want to read it? Well, you want to fall in love with your body. It's the reason you're here on Earth, and it's a very good thing to love it, because why not? You'll be more inspired to take good care of it if you love it unconditionally, as you might love a two-year-old.
Hmm. With compassion and a degree of love. So,
yes.
So this, of course, to some extent, this is a very ancient science. It's, you know, before the quote scientific era, people were talking about the breath, and it seems like the ancients really nailed it in the practice of yoga. What lessons do we derive from yoga, and does this differ from some of the basic precepts of, say, pranayama yoga with using breath?
Well, yoga teaches us that this little tidbit of information, that the out-breath gives us strength and it helps us to relax. The problem is this little tidbit is been forgotten. It's been overlooked. So my book takes this concept and expands on it, as actually Ian Jackson expanded on it. He's the one who in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, he was exploring how to use his breath, and he came upon this and he applied it to everyday life. As opposed to yoga, where you go to a yoga class or you practice in your home for 20 minutes and then you're done. The breathe-out dynamic system is about incorporating it into your daily life, into your daily activities, whether you're raising your arm up over your head to comb your hair, or you are pushing a lawnmower, or hiking. You know, so it's a daily activity. The problem with yoga is that for eons, it was information for the elite and for the military. And so the masses did not have this valuable information about how to relax the body and strengthen it.
Mm-hmm. So in preparation for the show, you sent me a link to a very interesting article from Neuroscience. Neuroscience, a very highfalutin medical journal, talking about science of the nervous system. And the title of the article, quite fascinating, it just came out actually, Rhythm of Breathing Affects Memory and Fear. And can you elaborate on that? Because it really seems to very nicely substantiate some of the principles that you espouse in your book.
Sure. Well, what I'd like the listener to do is imagine that they're driving on a very crowded highway and all of a sudden somebody cuts them off. And they immediately go into panic mode. And what's happening with their breath at that time is they probably just sucked in a huge breath of air. And what that did is it triggered their nervous system to rev up. But they're sitting in a car. Revving up doesn't help, but nonetheless their body is starting to rev up. Their rhythm of breathing is changing without their conscious intervention.
So it's designed for fight or flight, but when you're stuck on the freeway, there's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And that emotion that gets elicited, which is adaptive, which helps us fight off predators or escape from enemies, it just kind of gets, I guess we just marinate in those stress hormones.
Yes, indeed. But and I find myself doing this. You know, I'm human, I'm susceptible to doing this, but as soon as I realize what I've done, I immediately go to my out-breath and I pretend I'm blowing on a pinwheel and I make it spin and just keep it spinning and pause and then keep it spinning and you'll calm down and you'll feel it. So you can consciously affect your breathing and how it affects your physical body, your emotions, your being.
So what it says in this article, you know, if I can boil it down to some plain and simple language, is the scientists are asking whether cognitive functions are especially those associated with fear processing and memory, could also be affected by breathing. And they looked at a part of the brain called the amygdala. And the amygdala is the part of the brain that processes emotion. It's actually thought that people who have rage reactions have a dysregulated amygdala, or people who have panic disorders have a dysregulated amygdala. It's a part of the brain that's very primal in its function. And that there seems to be kind of a direct link between the breathing apparatus and, in particular, that structure in the brain. So what insights does that provide us with?
Well, it confirms what's written in my book, which, you know, this is so wonderful that all this information is coming out. 30 years ago when I started this, my practice in the Breathe Out Dynamic System, there was none of this. And what I was talking about sounded to many medical professionals like hocus pocus. So it was a really hard sell. Now, we're much more in tune with brain waves and, you know, all these internal processes and the regulation of breathing. We're really much more tuned into that.
Well, and so what it says in this article, and your concept, the breathing paradigm that you're talking about, is breathe out, which is interesting because, you know, people tend to think, well, breathe in. I mean, if you breathe, you know, if you want to, like, you know, steady yourself, you go, yeah, take a breath, you know, take a breath of air. You're saying breathe out. Interestingly, in this research, they're saying that during inhalation, that's part of the problem, because inhalation may trigger some of these negative emotions and may blunt memory. So it says if you're in a panic state, your breathing becomes faster. As a result, you'll spend proportionally more time inhaling than when in a calm state. I think, you know, I always thought, hey, inhaling, that's a good thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Intuitively, it sounds right, doesn't it? Yes. Well, the out-breath is, you have to experience the out-breath to understand its full value, because it's not common knowledge or even really intuitive, because from the day we're born, we're connected to people who are focused on their in-breath. And that's what we learn. And we also learn not to pay any attention to breathing. Breathing has never been a significant lesson, you know. So if we don't focus on it, we don't get the full benefit of breathing.
Yeah. You know,
more than just filling the lungs with air.
Yeah. I thought of your book when I was doing a dive. I do some scuba diving, unfortunately not as often as I'd like, but I went down to Mexico and they had cave diving. And I said, well, this is a little challenging because you're going to go underground. It's dark. You know, there's no way out. It's kind of scary. But they assured me that, nah, no problem. There's always an escape route. You always see daylight above you. Well, it turns out they actually kind of deceived me, because it was a much more challenging dive than I thought. It was pitch dark. There was no egress. And I thought, if my equipment fails, I'm going to be dead. And this is Mexico. Yeah. You know, they don't have a lot of lawyers. They don't have a lot of
rescue missions.
Insurance. I mean, it's Mexico. But anyway, so, you know, as I got in the water, I realized my breath was really ragged. And when you're breathing with the breathing apparatus, you can hear it and feel it. And you see the bubbles. And, you know, you're kind of like And as you get more panicky, you can you get that negative feedback. And I thought about your paradigm, and I thought to myself, hold on, you got to control your breath, because your mounting discomfort and apprehension is very tied to the breath. And it's very easy to monitor your breath when you're breathing through a mask and you're hearing it and the bubbles are coming out. And so I gradually calmed my breath, and I just deliberately got it into a rhythm and breathed out, took the time, a long expiration, and gradually calmed down and began to enjoy it. So is that an example of what you're – is that an example of what we're talking about?
Exactly, you were in the present moment.
Yeah, which was spectacular.
And breathing helps you to be in the present moment, because that's all you're doing is breathing, being. And actually, this is reminiscent of the – research I did with Newark, New Jersey Fire Department, where I posed the question, how much air could we save in our air tanks if we were breathing effectively? How much longer could we use our air tanks?
That's a great example, I was also concerned. I have to tell you that I was concerned because when you have a limited air supply and you're underground in a cave, you really watch that that meter, that pressure meter, and you watch the time that you're under, and you see, you know, your levels go down. And that's precisely what firemen undergo when they go into a building with a respirator.
Absolutely. They can, you can suck that air out of there so fast.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you worked with that project to help them with a sort of a sparing strategy for air usage.
I need, this was in 1987, I believe, and at that time I needed proof that this worked, that the breathe out dynamic system worked. And I racked my brain, but I had some friends who were firefighters, and I was talking to them about my work, and it dawned on me that firefighters are very close to their breathing. It's life or death for them, and it's all about breath, and that perhaps if I could show that they could use their air tanks longer, this would be proof that the out-breath is not only powerful for relaxation, but helps one to use less air. And indeed, they made remarkable gains when they started to use the breathe-out dynamic system. It was a very small sample, so it didn't, you know, it begged for more research, but it bolstered my thinking about the breathe-out dynamic system.
Okay, great. You've laid the groundwork for a discussion of, you know, specifically the breathe-out dynamic system. And in part two, I want to get into specifics because radio is a challenging medium. We have to describe this in such a way that's really experiential for our listeners. So rise to the occasion and meet that challenge in part two of today's discussion. We're talking about the science of breath with Betsy Thomason. She's a recognized expert on the subject. And is also currently the developer of the Breathe Out Dynamic System. And the book is Breathe Out. We'll be back in just a moment and continue our discussion of the impact of breathing on our well-being in general, on our mood, on our health. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.